Good morning. Today we're going to be looking at Psalms 2. Wonderful psalm. This has to do with the kingdom of Christ. And it is actually admonishing those rulers and kings that are against the Lord and His anointed. Is admonish them to come to Christ, to worship Christ. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. A very beautiful passage there. We see that the heathen are raging. The people are imagining a vain thing. We see that God's law is being laughed at and scoffed at. We see that the kings of the earth are setting themselves against and taking counsel together against the Lord. We see those in high educational circles that are promoting evolution. We see those that are saying that there is no God. There's another passage that says, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. We see many, many rulers trying to come together all under one umbrella of religions and denying the only one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a unified kind of thing. We see this amongst many, many church groups today. But Christ says He is sitting in the heavens and shall laugh and will have them in derision. Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's not really anything that anybody can do to circumvent that. He is in control. He is the Lord of the universe. He's the creator of the universe. And He has set His King upon His holy hill of Zion. And the Lord talks about, I will declare this the decree. This is an irreversible decree. What is that decree? Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Satan offered Christ all of the things of this earth if he would bow down and worship Him. But Jesus was already the creator of all of those things that Satan was offering Him. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. We realize that Christ is the potter and we are the clay. There's many things that happen in our lives that we do not understand in our finite minds. And sometimes our own ignorance, our own sins, our own sense of impropriety, our own sense of poor judgment, improper discernment, all kinds of things will tend to bring us down if we don't look to the Lord, if we don't realize that He is a compassionate, long-suffering, merciful God to those who He has shown His mercy to. He says, "Now be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." How many people do you know that are quite concerned about offending God, offending His law, not offending man, not running a popularity contest with man, but offending God Almighty? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but little, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. These rulers, these kings, these people in education, these doctors of the law, they are not kissing the Son. In fact, they're running the other direction from Him, and they're flaunting their corruptible delicacies to those who will participate with them in trying to explain away the Bible, explain away the decrees of God, explain away His grand and marvelous works from the foundation of the world. But you know, the Bible says that blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. My only hope, our only hope, should be that we are one of God's children, that He has shown compassion upon us, that He's forgiven us of all of our transgressions. When man may not forgive us, when people around us may not forgive us, when the whole world comes against us, Jesus Christ says, "I have graven you upon the palms of my hands." It's an irreversible decree by God that He has accomplished that which He set out to accomplish. He says that we were all born and shapen in iniquity. But we go back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and He says that He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. You know, there's a the thing about it is that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge and my righteous servant, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That day that he hung on the cross, he bore the sin of the transgressors, for those he died for. And we think about that, we think how magnificent of a work that was that he accomplished there on the cross. We think about how that he endured such horrendous suffering and separation from his Father. We know how it feels to be separated from those we love, how grievous it is. Think how grievous it must have been for Jesus Christ to be separated from his eternal Father, whom he had fellowship with from the eons of eternity. And he said, Father, why do you forsake me? Why dost thou forsake me? It was a tremendous price that Christ paid for the sins of his people. And he will come again as a ruling and reigning king. And all of those who look for him, all of those who are waiting for his return, where he will come back as a ruling and reigning king, says that in the second chapter of Revelation, verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And it says, he says in the third chapter of Revelation, the 11th verse, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And he says, that he is the he's going to come back. He came down here as a suffering servant. He suffered much at the hands of his own creation, and but he's going to come back as a ruling and reigning king to take vengeance upon those who have mocked and scoffed his holy name. There was a time when we all mocked and scoffed our Lord by our actions, by our works, by our negligence, by our by default. And but you know, there will come a time when he will take vengeance upon those who have not fled to the cross of Christ. in the 15th chapter of Revelation, the 3rd verse, it says, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." And so it goes on and talks about his glory manifested. The 8th verse of that chapter says, "The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled." You know, this earth is filled with a lot of things. And it says that there's going to be plagues that come in one day upon this earth. Death and mourning and famine. And this earth is going to be utterly burned with fire. And we see that in the 18th chapter of Revelation. The 9th verse says, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament of her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." This is speaking here of the great city Babylon. And you know, there are many places in this world that could be likened to Babylon. What about America? You know, America has become the habitation of devils, and every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I'm reading in chapter 2 of verse 18. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her pleasure. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." "Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she has filled to her double." And then the 11th verse says, "The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet and all that fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and the brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men." It reminds you of that scripture that they made merchandise of you. "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? They cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich. Alas, the great city wherein were made rich." You know, it's quite a pronouncement on what's going to happen to those who are in rebellion against the Lord and against His Christ. He's going to bring judgment upon those. He's going to hold those people in derision. The 19th chapter, the 12th verse says, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. We find in another passage it says that His Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 16th verse, And He hath on His vesture, on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the thing that we need to do is we need to kiss the Son. That means worship the only true God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has the power over life and death. He's the one that can grant repentance to those who flee to Him, flee to His cross. And we see in the 21st chapter of Revelation, He says, in the 3rd verse, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and He be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, there's a real hell. There's a real fire. There's real brimstone. And this is the second death. This is a decree that God has set forth. Those who are in rebellion against God's Son and are not kissing the Son, are not recognizing that and affirming that He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, they're denying not only His works, but denying His Son, have a fearful, fearful judgment ahead of them, and a fearful time eternally separated from the presence of God in hell. And we used to hear about hell and how it is eternal and how it is unescapable and how that it's burning with fire and brimstone, and how that people will cry for a drop of water to soothe their tongues. And so the message today is a twofold message. The message is one of love, the love and compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ, who came and gave Himself a ransom, who died a very cruel death, who was separated from His Father. But His decree was before the foundation of the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world. God and the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a covenant that He would come because of the not only the sin of our father Adam, which plunged the whole world into iniquity and spiritual death, but also because of our actual sins that we commit on a daily basis, whether it's pride or covetousness or malice or envy or sexual immorality or whatever those sins are. For the elect, Christ took on himself all of those sins. And he has taken those upon himself, and he says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. So today we need to we need to kiss the Son. We need to flee to the cross of Christ. We need to recognize what he has accomplished for his elect. If you're one of his elect, if you're one of his chosen people, if you're one of his sheep, this message should resonate in your heart that we need to always be cognizant of our relationship with Christ and he alone, for he is the Alpha, the Omega, and the beginning and the end. We'll see you next time.